Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Chav Zayin. We will begin on Daf Chav Zayin, Amud Aleph, at the Mishnah. The Torah says, the Torah teaches us the dinim of Hashavas Aveda. V'kentas l'shara v'kentas l'chamara v'kentas l'simla. The Torah mentions the simla of the person, the dress of the individual who lost something. Says the Mishnah, Afa simla hois b'chlal kol eilo. The Torah mentioned the simla amongst the other items. For lama yotza, so why did the Torah specify the simla? Lahakish aleha loy malach, to teach us, ma simla miyuchedes, what is characteristic of a simla? Sheyesh be simonim v'yesh le tovim. It has simonim, it's distinctive, and people who lose it want it. Whenever you have such an item, that's where there's a din chayv lahachriz that Hashavas Aveda is in order. Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand what the Torah is learning from a simla. Number pshatim. One pshat is simple pshat. A simla is usually distinctive. Every dress is distinctive. And then, therefore, it has simonim. And because it has simonim, yesh lo tovim, people will claim it if they lost it. Another pshat is, a simla dress, a garment, by definition, is man-made. And something that's man-made is distinctive. An apple that's made by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, all the apples look the same. Another pshat is that a simla dress, a garment, is something of significance. Somebody cares about it. And that's why we assume that the person who lost the simla was not miyayish from it, and therefore Hashavas Aveda is in order. And one final pshat is that the Torah is not just teaching us that there's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, but as the Mishnah says in the last words, the Torah is teaching us that there's a procedure, as we will be discussing in the coming Mishnayis, of how Hashavas Aveda is performed. And the way Hashavas Aveda is performed is lahachritz. We have to make an announcement that the person who lost it should come to identify what he lost. Says the Gemara, Mai b'chlal kol elu. The Mishnah began the words that simla was included with everything else. What does that mean? Amarava, the Torah says b'chlal kol aveda sachicha. The Torah already said anything that's lost should be returned. Why does the Torah single out the simla? As the Mishnah explained why. Amarava, ask the Gemara, Lomli the kos rachmana, why does the Torah have to single out char, chamor, sev, similar, each one of these items separately? Tzrichi, says the Gemara, each one of these items, there's a need for the Torah to specify. Dikos rachmana similar, had the Torah only said similar, have a mina, hanimili, be'edim de gufa, be'simonim de gufa. The when do we return something to someone who lost it? We're either, and we'll talk about this more later in the shiur, if we hold simonim are inadequate, edim come and speak about the actual item that was lost, or if we say simonim are adequate, one gives a simon about the actual item, about the actual simla that was lost. Havamina, Hani mili, the edim de gufa, the simonim de gufa. The edim or the simon have to be given in the actual item that was lost. Aval chamor, when we speak about a donkey, the edim de gukuf, the edim don't speak about the donkey itself, it speaks about the saddle the donkey wears, or the simonim de ukuf, or simonim are not brought in the donkey itself, only regarding the ukuf, the saddle the donkey is wearing. Maloy madrinalei, that should not be enough of a reason or ability to give back the item. Kas rachmana chamar, that's what the Torah writes the word chamar, which we seems to be superfluous, to teach us that fil chamar b'simani ukaf, even with simonim on the ukaf, on the saddle itself, it's enough to give it back. Shor v'sed the kas rachmana lamali. Now the Gemara continues, what if the Torah single out shor v'sed? Shor, says the Gemara, dafil legizas in znovai, to teach us that you have to return the shearing, the cut off tail. And we have a machlokes rishonim, how to understand what the Gemara means here. Some rishonim say, that even though the hair of the tail that's cut off, if it grows too long while the person is holding it, is not worth a shava pruta. And therefore, as we're going to learn in a moment, the halach is that if you find an aveda that's not shava pruta, there is no din of a shava aveda, so maybe you don't have to return the giza's navai. Teaches us the Torah, you do. Why taka? If we're saying that the halach is that if it's not worth a shava pruta, you don't have to return it, so why do you have to return this? So the Rishonim explain, when is there a din that you don't have to return something that's not worth a pruta? When you have a specific item that was found, and that item is not worth a pruta, the Torah says you don't have to give it back. But here, it's part of the animal, and the animal is certainly worth a pruta, so even though this specific Giza's Navai is not worth a pruta, you have to give it back. That's one pshat. Another pshat along the same line is that I found the shor. And as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem more in tomorrow's shir, I have now the responsibility of taking care of this animal. So I would think that at least I'm entitled to keep this Giza's Navai. Teaches us the Torah, you have no right to keep it, and you have to give it back. The other Rishonim have a different approach. As we're going to learn, the Torah obligates us that while we're watching the Aveda, until we give it back, we have to take care of it. And the Torah says, to what degree must we maintain the shor that we found, that we even have to groom the tail of the animal to keep it neat and clean? Ask the Gemara, the seh, why does the word seh come to teach us? L'gezaisav, that the wool has to be returned or cut. Ask the Gemara, if so, v'glichtav rechmona shor, so let the Torah write the word shor, that filo gizas novav, the halach is, you have to give it back. The kosh can sell it to yourself, and certainly a sheep, you have to give back the wool. Why does the Torah have to teach us both the din of the tail of the axe and the wool of the sheep? And again, let's understand the Gemara's question based on the different approaches we explained by the shor. If we say that what the Torah is teaching us is that you have to give back the tail of the axe, even though it's obviously not that valuable, so certainly, ask the Gemara, you would have to give back the wool, which is more valuable. So why does the Torah have to teach it to us? And even if we say the pshat is that the Torah is teaching us that we have to groom the animal and cut even its tail, certainly part of taking care of a seh is cutting the wool. So whatever pshat we learned, the Gemara's question is very understandable. Why does the Torah have to speak both about the tail of a shor and the wool of the seh? Ela Amar Rava tells us Rava, Chamor debar l'Rabbi Yehuda. The word chamor, which the Torah teaches us by the mazik abar, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we'll explain this in a moment, the seh d'aveda, and this word of seh that the Torah uses in the parasha of Hashavas Aveda, the Divrei HaKal, according to all opinions, kasha, seem to be superfluous. So as the Mefarshim explain, what the Gemara means to say is, when we learned Masechta Baba Kama, and we discussed the Masik of Chamor, there's Machlokes Rabbanan of Yehuda. Rabbanan said, Chamor v'loy kelim. Shor v'loy Adam, Chamor v'loy kelim. It means, according to Rabbanan, if kelim fall into a bar, the Baal HaBor is not responsible for the damage done to the kelim. Yehuda disagrees. He says, even if kelim fall into a bar, the Baal HaBor is held responsible. If so, according to Yehuda, the word chamor is superfluous. And the Gemara was not able to figure out what Rabbi Yehuda will do with that word chamor. Furthermore, this word seh that the Torah is using here by Aveda, the Gemara is not able to identify what we should do with that word. Ask the Gemara, v'im l'glal mudasa. Maybe we should say that the word of seh by the parsha of Aveda is coming to teach us that the waste that the animal expels, you're allowed to keep. You have to give back also. Answer the Gemara, Galalam Efkuri Mafkalahu. The Galalam you don't have to give back, because the owner is certainly Mafka the Galalam. So there's a Machloikis. So there's an interesting Shaila. Comes up very often. The Rishonim debate, Hefker, when is it considered Hefker? And the opinion of the Rambam is that something is only hefker is if the owner clearly articulates that he's being mafker the item. So ask the Mefarshim, yes, the owner of this animal doesn't really care about the glolim it's expelling. But did he clearly articulate that he wants to be mafker it, that the Gemara considered hefker? So the Mefarshim explained that even according to the Rambam, that the halach is that it's only hefker if it's articulated, when something is obvious that the owner intends to be mafkrit, there's no question, even the Rambam will agree, you don't have to say it. And therefore, in this case, certainly if somebody lost his animal, he's not thinking about the golem. He doesn't care about the golem. And therefore, even if he didn't say anything, it's going to be hefker. Ask the Gemara, the Dima, the Simonim Hudasa. Maybe what the Torah is teaching us is that you return a lost item based on identifying the simonim. The Barlon, as we're going to discuss soon, Mitzvashem, simonim derives to the Rabbanon. There's a question, if you return an item based on simonim, is that a valid way to give it back? Midaraiso, or is that only Midrabbanon? Teaches us, says the Gemara, Kos Rachmana Seh, so we'll say that the word says coming to teach us that Philibus Simonim Adrian, the Madaraisa we can rely on Simonim to give back a lost object. The Simonim Daraisa. And now we'll have a proof that returning a lost object is Madaraisa, based on Simonim, is valid Madaraisa. Answer the Gemara, that can't be what the word says coming to teach us. Because Amri, Midik Tani Lahu, since the Torah already used the word simonim by simla, that the simla comes to teach us we return something based on simonim. The Tani, as we just learned in our Mishnah, mas simum yuchedes sheyesh by simonim v'yesh loy toivim, and therefore chayv lahakris. Af kol davar sheyesh by simonim v'yesh loy toivim chayv lahakris. So if the Torah meant to teach us that simonim work midaraisa, I can learn from simla. I don't need seh to teach it to us. Says the Gemara, shma mino, the seh lav l'simonim hu dasa. The word seh is not for that purpose. And we're back to where we started, and that's where we end, that the word seh in the parish of Hashava Saveda seems to be superfluous. The Gemara hasn't been able to figure out what that pasuk, that word comes to teach us. There's a beautiful vart. The pasuk says in Tehillim, "Teisi kaseh oved, bakish avdcha ki mitzvasecha lo shachachti." So the first explain as follows: "Teisi kaseh oved, Klal Yisrael we know is compared to a seh, to a sheep, and the goyim treat Klal Yisrael kaseh oved." Like the word seh in the parasha of Hashavas Aveda. That our Gemara just finished saying that the word seh in the parasha of Hashavas Aveda is superfluous. And the Goyim look at us, kiseh oived, like that word seh in the parasha of Hashavas Aveda, that the world doesn't need the Jews. They were superfluous. But we know, bakish avdecha, ki mitzvasecha lo shechachti. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that we're the most valuable, because it's only Klal Yisrael that learn his Torah and do his mitzvahs. And we're the ones that are most necessary for the Kiyum Olam, for the world to exist. But first, go on to ask, we're learning, and we're going to speak about it a lot in the coming Shiurim, that at Aveda, you have to have Simonim, perhaps even Simonim isn't enough. Yeah, maybe you need Edim to return our Aveda. And the question that comes up is we have a klal that we've said many times, Bari v'shem bari adif. So if you find an aid, if you find an Aveda, and I come and I say, this is my item, and you're not arguing with me, you don't know whose item it is. Why don't we say Bari v'shem bari adif, and you should have to return it to me? So some answer, and we've discussed this concept previously, that even if we have a rule of Bari V'Shem and Bari Adif, we only apply that rule where it's a Bari, which is a strong Bari and a weak Shema. My Bari, that I'm telling you, this is for sure mine, is not a strong Bari. you have no way of disputing me. And therefore, we don't apply the concept of Bar Vishem and Bar Yadav. Another pshat is that we don't say Bar Vishem and Bar Yadav when it contradicts the Roiv. In the rest of the world, it may belong to someone else, so there's a Roiv challenging the Bari, and we don't say Bar Vishem. The Chasam Sofer says, very nice pshat. He says, what's the question we're asking? That if I come and I say for sure it's mine, that you should return it. If it's really yours, why don't you know the simonim? So the fact that I wasn't able to identify the simonim is the best raya that we don't say, is the best raya that I'm not saying the truth, and here we don't apply Bar Vishem Bar Yadav. However, many achronim say that the only time we apply the concept of Bar Vishem Bar Yadav is by the Torah, where it's you against me, I say you owe me money, and you say I don't remember. So Bar Vishem Bar Yadav. But if it's not just you and me, it's me against the whole world, I'm saying it's mine, and you don't know that, there we don't say Bar Vishem Bar Yadav. And I saw two explanations in the Achronim why Bar Vishem and Bar Yadav is limited to when we have two litigants. One pshat is, because if it's not just me and you, but it's the rest of the world, so then again, like I said a moment ago, so then it's not just my Bari and your Shema. Everybody else is a factor here. The Stipulus has a very nice fart. He says like this. When do we say Bari Vishem and Bari Adav? I say you for sure owe me money, and you say I don't remember, I don't know. So you should know if I'm saying the truth, because you're the one that borrowed money from me. And if you don't know, and I do know, you'll have to pay. But if I was lying, and you knew I was lying, you'd say so. In a case where I come, you found something, and you say you found something, and I say I'm the one that lost it, you have no way of knowing if I'm saying the truth or not. You have no idea who lost it. Where you don't know, where you have no way of knowing the truth, we don't say Bar Vishem Bar Yadav. We only say Bar Vishem Bar Yadav where you could have known the truth, you should have known the truth, and you don't know. But where you had no way of knowing, we don't apply the concept of Bar Vishem Bar Yadav. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabban, the Pasuk says, Asha Toivid, to teach us, Prat Laveda Sheim B'Shev Pruta. It comes to teach us that Aveda isn't worth a Pruta, there's no din of Hashavas Aveda. Rabbi Yudaimer, Umetzasa. We learned this din from the word umetzasa to teach us prat laveda she'en b'shev pruta. So the Rishonim make 2 points. One point is, why would we think that aveda that shava pruta, that she'en b'shev pruta should have a din of a shava aveda? Everywhere in Torah we know that if something is not a shava pruta, it's meaningless. Why should we think here it's different? So the Rashi answers, since the Torah uses the words, we quoted the words earlier, l'chol avedas achecha, Achicha. So since the Torah uses the word l'chol, we would think that even if it's not Shava Pruta, there should be a din of Hashava Saveda. That's why the Torah had to teach us that not. Machlokes Rishonim, what does this mean that if I found an item that's not a Shava Pruta, I have no din of Hashava Saveda? Some Rishonim say what it means is that I don't have responsibility to go through the procedure which we're going to discuss of doing Hashava Saveda. But certainly if you come and you say it's yours, then I have to give it back to you. Other Rishonim say that not only don't I have to go through the procedure, but if I find something of yours, I'm allowed to keep it, even if you come to claim it. Ask the Gemara. So they both hold the same thing, that if it's not Shava Pruta, it doesn't have to be returned. My Benayu, so what's the halachic nafkamino? Amar Abayi, Mishmas Darshanik Benayu. It's just from where we learn the din. Ma nafkalei mashatayvid. One man daman learns it from the word ashatayvid. Or ma nafkalei mimutsasa. He learns it from the word mitsasa. Ask the Gemara, well, the man, the nafkalei mashatayvid. The man that learns it from the word ashatayvid. Hai umetzasa, my avadlei. What does he use the word metzasa to teach us? Answers the Gemara, hamui bayle lechid Rav Noi. He comes to teach us what we learned from Rav Noi, mesech the babakam, daf kofiyot gimel on the days. Dama Rav Noi, umetzasa, losa yade mashma. Which means as follows. As we learned in mesech the babakam, the aloch is there is no din of ashavas aveda by a goy. But Rav Noi asks, perhaps that then only applies if I see a goy's object on the floor, I'm not obligated to pick it up and return it to him. But let's say I already picked it up. There I already have the obligation to return it to him. Teaches us, even if mutsasa, even if you already retrieved it, You don't have to return it to him. Here too we have a machlokes achroin, and what does that mean? Does that mean that I don't have to go through the procedure of returning the item to the guy, but certainly if he comes and claims that I have to give it back to him? Or does it mean that I'm allowed to keep it even if he comes to claim it? Ulamanda nafkalei mimetzasa asked the Gemara, according to the man, the Omer, that learns it from Mitzasa, hi, learns the dinner about Emay Shavapruta from Mitzasa, hi, Ashatoivit, my Avalei, Barlei, the Rabbi Yoichran. He needs it to teach it the dinner of Rabbi Yoichran. Domer Rabbi Yoichran, Mishim Rabshim Ben Yechoi, a din that we've learned many times. Menein La Veda Shishot Fenor. How do we know if something was fell into the sea? Shumiteris. There is no din of a Shavas Aveda. Shanemar, the Chaintas L'chol Avedas Achicha. Mishav, where is there a din of Hashavas Aveda? Mishav Udam Imenu Umetsuya Etzakol Adam. If something was found, you lost it, but other people have it. However, Yotz Zu Shavudi Imenu Vetsuya Etzakol Adam, then nobody has it, there is no din of Hashavas Aveda. And here too we have a Machloikus Rishonim. How to understand this is a din that we've learned a number of times in our parak, that something that fell into Zuta Shliyam, something that fell into the yam, there is no din of Hashavas Aveda. What does that mean? Some explain, we discussed this yesterday, some say what it means is that the Torah declares such an item as Hefker. That's one way of learning it. Another way of understanding is that the Torah says that the crucial point in any time, not that I don't have an obligation to return something to you, is after you were miyash. The Torah tells us that if an item fell into a place that's avud b'menu mikol adam, completely lost, the Torah says we're sure that you're miyash. So now the question that the Rishonim ask is, let's say something fell into the yam, and you're sitting and telling us, I'm not miyash. What will be the din? According to this approach, I shouldn't be allowed to keep it. Say to Rishonim, even if you'll say explicitly that you're not being miyash, it's batal data, it's a kolodim. Your statement is a meaningless statement, and therefore I'm allowed to keep it. Ask the Gemara. Vidach hader of noimanole. The other mandam that uses the word mitzasa to teach us that if it's eimba shava pruta, there's no chiva shava saveda, where will he learn the din that if you find something of a goy, you don't have to return it, even if you picked it up? Nafkale mim umitzasa. He learns it from the extra vof. So Rabbi Akiva Eger makes an interesting point. He asks as follows. Let's say, so according to this, everybody agrees there is no din of Hashavas Aveda by Goy's object that you found, even if you already retrieved it. But what will be the din if a Goy loses an object and he has an insurance policy on that item, and the insurance policy was written by a Jew? So if he loses the item and you don't return it, who's going to be the one that's ultimately going to be held responsible? The Jew, because he has the insurance policy. Do you have to give it back? And the question really goes the other way too. Let's say a Jew lost an item. So of course there's a din of Hashavas Aveda. But let's say the Jew has an insurance policy, so even if he, which is written by a Goyisha company. So even if he lost the item, he's not going to lose. The guy's going to be the loser, because the guy's going to have to compensate from the insurance policy. Must you return it or not? It seems from the Paiskim that clearly in the situation where a Jew lost the item, even if he has an insurance policy written by a Goyish company, you have to return it. In a situation, and the other way too, that if a guy has a product, has an item, that a Jew is going to be held responsible because he's carrying the insurance, there you do have to return it, even though it's an item owned by a guy. Ask the Gemara, Vidach, the other mandama that uses the words Ashatoivid to teach us the din about Shava Pruta, Hadra Rabbi Yoichran, that's something that is completely lost. There's no din about Shava Saveda, Menolei, how will he know that din? Nafkele Mimenu. He learns it from the extra word Mimenu. Vidach, what will he do with the word Mimenu? Mimenolei, Mashmalei. So up till now, the approach of the Gemara has been that everybody agrees that if an item is not Shava Pruta, there is no din about Shava Saveda. The Machloikis is only from where we know it. Rav Ava wants to say that there is a halachic nafkamina. Rav Ava Pruta Shehuzla Ikbenayu. There's nafkamina if, when the item was lost, it was worth a pruta, but then it went down in value. Manda masha toivet ikka, because at the moment of loss, it was worth a pruta. Or manda amu mitzasa, you look at the moment when it was given back, leka, it wasn't worth a pruta. Ask the Gemara. Even according to Mandam that we learn from the word Ashatovid, Habina Mitzasa Leka, the Torah does require that it should be a Shava Pruta when it's found. And here it's not a Shava Pruta. Says the Gemara, Ela Pruta Shehukr Benayu, Ikr Benayu. The Gemara wants to suggest that when it was lost, it wasn't worth a Pruta, and then it went up in value. Ask Rav Kivega, if at the moment it was lost, it wasn't worth a pruta, so then there's automatic yish. And if there's automatic yish, once there's yish, there's no Shabbos Aveda. So how could it be that if it goes up in value, there should be a chiv? So Rikvega says that the Gemara means to the following circumstance. He says it was lost, it wasn't worth a pruta. But before the owner was miyash, that means before the owner became aware that it was lost, it went up in value. That's what the Gemara means would be the nafkamina. There's a problem with Kivega's teretz, because according to Mandama, Yush Loi Midas is Yush, so even though he didn't know about it till later, but the Yush kicks in immediately, according to Rava. Ela Prutishik Hukri Ikvenayah. Mandama Mitzos Ika, because when you're giving it back, when you found that it was really worth a pruta. However, Mandama Shatavid, at the moment it was lost, luckily it wasn't worth a pruta. Ask the Gemara, well, the mandama mitzosa, even the mandama that follows that word, habina shetayv v'leka, it wasn't worth a pruta when it was lost. Ella, says the Gemara, what is the nafkamina? The nafkamina will be in a situation, ella pruta shehukra v'huzla v'chaz v'hukra ikubinayim. That means, at the moment it was lost, it was worth a pruta. Then it went down, and then it went back up to a pruta. Mandama shetayv ikka. According to Mandam that says you look at the moment it was lost, it was worth a pruta. Or Mandam Mitzasa, this Mandam says, the Ispa Shia Mitzia, he says the word Mitzasa, the extra vav at the beginning of the word Mitzasa comes to teach us that it has to be worth a pruta, Mishas Aveda Chas Mitzia, the entire time. And if there's any point that it wasn't worth a pruta, there is no Chiv of a Shavas Aveda. Ask the Gemara, fundamental question. Ibar Lusimanam the Rais Drabanam. The halacha that we return something based on showing the simonim, is that midaraisa or drabon? So as the Pnei Yeshua explains, before we say the Pnei Yeshua, the Ran asks, we'll go with the Rishonim before we go to the Achronim. The Ran asks, if we're going to say that simonim aren't effective midaraisa, ask the Ran, so then there should be automatic yush every time you lose something. So how will we ever have a din of Hashavas Aveda? Answers the Ran, that if we hold that simonim are only midrabonim, and you only return an item, as we'll discuss on the Beis, based on Eidim, still, we're talking to the person's mentality. And a person who loses an item that has simonim is not so quick to be miyash, because he figures that since it has simonim, there will be Eidim that will show up. Why would we say that simonim should not be effective? So the Pnei Yeshua gives two explanations. One explanation, he says, is that we always have to be concerned that let's say you lost an item, but I'm your friend and I saw this item, and that's why I'm familiar with the item. And therefore, when I say that when I'm able to identify the simonim, it's not because I'm really the owner of it, it's because I'm familiar with the item. That's one approach. The other approach is that we always have to be concerned that there's another item that looks like your item. And therefore, simonim are not a conclusive proof that indeed is your item. What is the nafkamina between these two approaches? The nafkamina is that there are really three categories of simonim. One category of simonim is what is known as a simon muvik, a very strong simon, which will become clear in the Gemara Mitzvashem that that is considered midaraisa valid. Then we have simon beinonim. It's a simon, but it's not so strong, and then we have a simon gerua. If we said that the entire concern is that there might be another item that looks like this, if it's a simon muvik, we don't have to be worried about it. And that's the way we're going to learn the Gemara. And in fact, that's the halacha, that a simon muvik is certainly valid with a raisa. In fact, there's a beautiful vart from the Maral Miprag. The pasuk says that after Lavan gave Rachel to Yaakov instead of Leah, says in the pasuk, "Vehi bebeiker, vehine Leah." Ask the Maral, "Vehi bebeiker, vehine Leah." She was Leah ready at night. Yaakov might not have known. If it wasn't only in the morning, it was ready at night. "Vehi bebeiker." So he answers the Maral. What does Rashi say happened? Leah gave Rachel the simonim, that because she knew that what her father was, and she didn't want her sister to be embarrassed. Rachel gave Leah the simonim. So at night, what was Leah relying on? A simon muvik. Al Gemara, we just said, holds that a simon muvik is a full-fledged simon. So at night, halachically, she was Rachel. It was only in the morning when the simonim wore off. Vehi bebeiker, only in the morning, vehine Leah, she's Leah. At night, we rely on the simon. It's interesting. When they told this vart over to the Beis Yisrael, in the name of the Maral, he said, this part passes for Chaim Briska. Ask the Gemara. So again, Ibailu, Simonim deraisu derabonim. A Simonim valim deraisu derabonim. Ask the Gemara, my nafkamina. What's the nafkamina? Le dure get isha besimonim. A get was lost, but the Simonim. I amrit deraisa. If we'll say that it's medaraisa madrinim, then we could give a get back based on Simonim. The Amrit Rabbanon, if we'll say it's Rabbanon, ki ovid Rabbanon takanto, where did Chazal say you could rely on Simonim, b'memoino, as the Rishonim explained, because by Mamma we always have the concept of Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Al be Surah, when it's a question of Isser, le ovid Rabbanon takanto. So the Rishonim asked two questions. One question that they ask is that certainly we're not dealing with a Shal of Deraisa. This entire question, where somebody lost the get, and now he's able to come back and identify that this is the get that he lost, it's only a question of a chashash to Rabbonin. So how could the Gemara say that only by the Rabbonin we're machmer, not by a deraisa? Is the question of a get a question of a deraisa? So the Rishonim answer, that maybe this particular situation where the get was lost and our concern is only a Rabbonin to get concern, but a get is valid with deraisa. And therefore, since the get is valid with deraisa, The get is a deraisa concept, there we don't rely on simonim. Another question, the Rishonim asks, we just had a Gemara the other day that says we can't learn isura mimemoina. So how does the Gemara want to learn the din of a get from the din of mitzia? Isura mimemoina lo yalpinen. Answer the Rishonim. In that Gemara, we had a get with names on it, and we had a concern maybe there's another couple in the same city with the same names. So there that's a concern, that's somewhat of a concern. And the Gemara says, maybe by Isser we're concerned with it, mum and not. Here we have so many factors pointing that it's the right get. So here, if simonim were valid midaraisa, we should rely on it. And that's the Gemara's question. Toshma, af a similar heist b'kol eila, as we started the shiur today. Similar is included in all the other types of items that were lost. So why did the Torah single out Simla? Lahakishala v'loy malach. Mas Simla miyuched v'sheyesh le simonim v'yesh le toivim chayv lahachris. Af kol dov v'sheyesh le simonim v'yesh le toivim chayv lahachris. So doesn't the Mishnah Braisa clearly indicate that simonim are adequate? Answers the Gemara. Tana toivim itzruchalei. The main point of the Mishnah and the Braisa is not the focus is not on the word simonim. Simonim won't do the trick. The toivim, that somebody comes and brings adequate proof that it's his, that's what's required. Simonim, that the Bryce, the Mishnah, speak about simonim, k'day nazba, not because that's the main thing that you could rely on. Tashma, the pasuk says, v'hoyi imcha ad rosh achicha isai. If you find something, you hold it until your brother comes to claim it. We'll discuss this pasuk more tomorrow. The chisalt adatach asked the Gemara, what's pshat in this pasuk? Will we think she is lenu or kaidim yitushana? That before a claim is made on it, we should give it to him. Elder Sheyu, we should investigate. Im ramayihu or any ramayi, if the person is honest or not, my love doesn't mean that we can rely on simonim. Says the Gemara, it doesn't mean to rely on simonim. We rely on edim. As machloikas rishonim, what does it mean? We rely on Edom. One pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that the person who lost the item has to bring Edom, that this item belongs to him. Another pshat that Ritva learns is not that he has to bring item belongs to him. He has to bring item that he's an honest person. That means if you found my object and I come and claim that I am the one that owns this object, so you say, fine, but how do I know you're an honest individual? I have to go bring Adam, says the Ritva. The Gemara means that I'm an honest individual, and then you'll indeed give it back to me based on the Simonim. Toshma, Eim Edom Ela Patsva Ponim Mechaitim. If a dead body is found, we could only say that it's that person if the entire face is intact with the nose. Abishyesh Simonim Begufa Ubekalev. Even though he has Simonim on his body and on what he's carrying. Shmamina, isn't this a proof that Simonim lav deraisa? Because if we can rely on Simonim, why do we have to be able to recognize him? Amri, says the Gemara, no. Gufa, darfa guts. What does it mean, the body, if you can't identify the face? Short and tall. Short and tall, going back to what I said a few moments ago, is in the category of a simon gerua. There are a lot of tall people in the world. There are a lot of short people in the world. A simon gerua is certainly not a valid simon. Kalev is talking about the chashin l'shela. Maybe somebody gave his kalem away, and he lent his kalem to somebody else, and the fact that somebody's carrying the kalem is not a raya that it's indeed that of an individual. Ask the Rishonim, if now our Gemara has taught us a new concept that by kalem, chashin l'shela, we have to always be concerned that the owner of the kalem lent it to someone else. So now we have a very fundamental problem. We're discussing where we can rely on Simon. There is no question, we're already learning Masechta Perakel Metzias for a number of dafim, that if I find an item, and you bring Simonim, I give it back to you. Why shouldn't we chashish l'shela? Why should we chashish? That you're not the real owner of the item. You're just the person that borrowed the item. And how could I give it back to you? So the Rishonim give two answers. One answer is that usually when somebody borrows an item, he borrows it for a short while, he needs it for whatever he needs it, and then he gives it back. He really doesn't study that item that well that he should be familiar with the simonim, because it's not really his. One teretz. Another teretz is like this. What are we concerned? That you're not the owner of the item, you're only the shoyl. But even if you're the shoyl, you're responsible to give it back to me anyway. You're responsible to give it back to the owner. So why are we worried about that? You're not the real owner? So what's the difference? We're giving it back to you, or you'll give it back to the real owner. Ask the Gemara, if we're concerned about Shayla, we learned at the beginning of the shir that we return a donkey based on somebody showing simonim of the saddle. How do we give it back? Why are we not choshish that he lent the ukaf? Answers the Gemara, Amri ukaf loshali unshi ukfa. People don't lend a donkey's saddle to another person. Mishum this mask of Leil Chamra. The Rishonim explained, there are no two donkeys that are the exact same shape. So if I take my saddle that fits perfectly on this donkey, and then put it on another donkey, it'll be impossible to put back on my donkey perfectly, and therefore people don't lend out donkey saddles. Ibai Seima, Kalev Bechivri Vesumki. It's talking about white and dark Kalev, and again, that's not a valid simon. It's a simon gerua. Ask the Gemara, Elohad Tanya. The Brisa says, Matzo kish kosher bekis or be'arniki or betabas. If a get was found and it was tied to a kiss or to a wallet or to a ring, Aishim Matzo ben Kalev, or was found between the person's kalim, afi uzman meruba, even if it was found a long time after it was written, kosher, the get could still be used. Ask the Gemara, visakadatach chashin l'shela, if now we've established that we have to be concerned that people lend out their kalim, kimotz b'kosher b'kus, amai kosher, why is this a valid simon? Nechash l'shela, answers the Gemara, amri, kiss for anaki v'tabas, l'mishali inchi. People don't lend these items. Kiss for anaki, a wallet or a pocketbook, people don't lend. It's a bad sign if you lend out your wallet. Ask Taisvis, the Taisvis says, We don't believe in superstition. So how do we do this? So I saw so Taisus answers, when it's Tzarech Refua, there's no Isser of Lois Anakshu. Here too, it's your Panosas on the line, we don't say Lois Anakshu. Another Teretz that the Rishonim give is, where is there Isser Lois Anakshu? If I sit here and verbalize that I'm not doing something because it's of a superstition, that's an Isser Lois Anakshu. But if it's just something I do but I don't verbalize, there's no Isser of Lois Anakshu. But Tabas, Mashunda Mazayev. They used to rely on the ring, because the ring was a proof who they were. It was like their driver's license, but it wasn't like a driver's license because it didn't have your picture on it. And therefore, you're very careful not to lend it to anyone, because that's the way you could end up with identity theft. Lamech Tanai, ask the Gemara. Perhaps this shaila of simonim is a machlokes tanoim. Eimi idem al shuma. If we find the body and there's a wart, can we identify the body based on the wart? Tanakam says not. My love, what is the machlokes? The Tanakam is sover simon and the rabbanon, and therefore we can't rely on them. The sover simon and the raisa, we can rely on the shuma. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, the kul alma simon and the raisa. Everybody will agree that simonim is the raisa. The hocha mishuma mitzui beben gilui kamifki. Are there other people that can have the same shuma? Usually the definition of Ben Giloy is a person that was born in the same time, in the same year, in the same time as I was born. Others say Ben Giloy is people who are very similar. Masover, Shum Mitzuy Ben Giloy, and therefore wart is not considered a simon muvik. Or Masover, Shum Ein Mitzuy Ben Giloy, and therefore it's a valid simon. Ibai Seima, the Kulam Shum Ein Mitzuy Ben Giloy. V'hocha, B'simonim Astuyim L'shtanis Lachem Yisak Abavki. Does the body change these simonim? Mass of a simonim is suim l'shtanas lachamisa, and therefore you can't rely on something you find on the body after it's no longer alive. Or mass of a simonim ain't suim l'shtanas lachamisa. People don't give up. The simonim don't change. First, may I ask the question, how can we have a machloikus over metzias? So they say it certainly changes. The question is, how much of a change is considered a change? Ibai Seima. The kulam suma en suyu l'shtas lachamisa. Furthermore, the simonim derabonim. V'hocha b'shuma simon muvik hu kamifgi. Is a shuma considered a simon muvik? Masav a shuma is a simon muvik hu, and it could be relied on. Masav a shuma is only a simon beinani, and lav simon muvik hu, and you can't rely on it. Interesting, sefer atrumis. Many mefarshim, many paiskim say that even though we're saying there's a difference between a simon muvik and simon beinani, they say if you have two simon beinanis, it's equal to one simon muvik. Amarava, imtim tzolayma, simonim lav deraisa. If we're going to argue that simonim are not valim deraisa, heicha medrina vidos besimonim. So how could we rely on simonim to give back something that was found? Answers the Gemara, the nichalei lemoitzi aveda, the person who loses something is willing to accept then the head of the simonim, even though it is invalid midaraisa, kehecha, the chi of the leila the day, navadai besimonim. There's an unwritten agreement between all people. If I lose something, I want to get it back based on simonim, and therefore I'll be happy to give it back to you when you lose something, if you could give me simonim. Amale, rafsaf l'rova, the chi adam oisa tovel atzmai, b'mamon shein shloi, am I in a position to make agreements on something that's not mine? Al nichle lebei balaveda lemarav simonim lemishkalei made the yodim, because he knows the edim lesley. He doesn't have edim that could prove that it's his. Or meimer omer kula amel loyadi simonim v'fakim today. The rest of the world doesn't know the simonim. V'anoy yahavne simonim v'fakim today v'shakanalei. That's why I want to rely on the simonim v'fakim. Ask the Gemara, El Hadat, now we learned, Rav Shimon Gamaliel Omer, Echad Aloiv Mishloisha, if we found shtaris, we spoke about this Mishnah the other day, if we found shtaris, Yachs Loiva. So if these three shtaris named the same Loiva, even at three different Malvis, so we found the three shtaris together, it's a proof that the Loiva dropped it. Shloisha Shlova Min Echad, but if the three shtaris have one Malva and three Loivis, we should give it to the Malva. Ask the Gemara, Nichalei le'loiv le'adur le'lamalva. It was saying that the premise of Hashavas Aveda is always that the person who lost the item is satisfied, asked the Gemara, is the loiva satisfied that the malva should get it back? Answered the Gemara, Amalei Hashem Svaru. Echa loiva mishloisha, in a situation where it is one loiva and three malvas, Taloch is yachs loiva. We give it back to that loiva. The gabe loiva shchichi, gabe malva shchichi. Because we follow the Svaru. That who must have lost it? Must have been the loiva. How do three malvas shtaris come together if it's all from one loiva? Shmamina, maloiva nafal. Similarly, shloisha shlova ma'echad, if there are three loivas and one malva, the loch is yachsim malva. The gaba, because again, we follow the svara. The gaba malva shchichi, gaba loiva la shchichi. As the Gemara, al hadas fanan, we learned a Mishnah, Matzatach v'shal shtaris, a gudashal shtaris, and we found a bundle of shtaris, hareza yachsa. We give it back to the, if the person who, the malva brings a simmer, we give it back to him. Hachanami, where we say here too, the nechale l'loiv l'adur l'malva, here there's no svara pointing to say that certainly the malva lost it. So we're back, so where we're up to now is, we don't have a proof why we say how we know if simonim are the rice of the rabbonim. So the Mefarshim asked, the case of these three shtaris were three shtaris together, so he knew the number, and he knew how they were connected. So those are two simonim beinanim. And didn't I just say that two simonim beinanim equal one simon muvik? Answer the Mefarshim that even if two simonim beinanim equal one simon muvik, in a situation where we have to be choshi that the mouth is lying, that we can't rely on two simon and betanim. Furthermore, one quick thought. The Gemara says there are certain things people don't lend. The Gemara said a wallet, a purse. So the Mefarshim say that when they brought to Yaakov Avinu the Ksoinus Pasim of Yosef that was bloody, he said Yosef was dead. How does he rely on simonim? So he answered the Mefarshim, Yaakov Avinu knew how valuable the Ksoinus Pasim was to Yosef. He got a present from his father. So it was something that a father, that Yosef certainly wouldn't have given to somebody else. And if it's something he wouldn't have given to somebody else, the Gemara says we could rely on it.